high 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody is doing great. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day. Still trying to get used to this this change of season, Chase. You know, it's funny. I feel like I've kind of flipped, man. Like, I always was a big fall guy. Like, when it got cold, man, I used to start wearing the boots more, wearing more of the, I don't wear this anymore. You know, it's a little bit outdated now, but the flannels, the hoodie, you know what I mean? Like, you're a little bit younger, right? I used to get excited about that. You got hunting season. Actually it's going on, but you know, rifle season coming up here in a couple weeks. But man, used to be my thing, man. But now, I think I've just gotten soft, Chase. I think as I've gotten older, bro, I've just gotten soft. I mean, like, I hate the cold. Like, you should have seen me. Like, yesterday, man, I had some blue camo Nike sweatpants, like cotton sweatpants I just found around my house. I'm wearing those, a Columbia, like, Carpenter looking jacket. Chase, I don't match at all, but I don't even care anymore. It's like, it's so funny. Like, when you get older, and I know I'm not that old, but you get what I'm saying. You just don't care anymore. You don't really care about, like, I'm not trying to impress nobody. I mean, I don't match. All I care about is I just want to feel good. You know what I mean? I just want to feel good. I want to feel comfortable. And there's no better way to do that than with some arch supports from the Good Feet Store. So make sure, if you guys are a little uncomfortable, your feet hurt, you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, or back pain, head on over to the Good Feet Store right now and take care of you. Midtown Village is where you can find them here in Tuscaloosa, but there are locations throughout the state of Alabama and nationwide. Again, the Good Feet Store will take great care of you. First-class customer service. These people are phenomenal. I've been wearing them for a while now. And again, whether it's walking my dog, going to the gym, just day-to-day, whatever, it's great. I was dealing with, you know, quad tendonitis from playing football. And it was really bothering me, but these arch supports helped out tremendously with that. Had me feel much more balanced. I was able to get back to running and doing all the things I like doing, right? I'm an active person. So make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Goodfeet.com for more information as well. And you always can do this. You can always go sign up for some free cash to goodfeetkickforcash.com. That is put on by the Good Feet Store, right? And basically, if you get selected, you get a chance to go kick some field goals for some money. And they're coming back with it, right? We've got three straight home games. So make sure you guys go sign up right now. Good Feet Kick for Cash. All it takes is your name and your email, right? So make sure you guys do that. Good Feet Kick for Cash. Name and email. That's it. And if you get selected, hell, you get a chance to go win some free money, man. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. So make sure you guys do that. Sorry, you got me distracted right here. I'm looking at the chat. Everybody's they're showing love for the segue. I'm not going to lie. That was a little smooth, man. I got to toot my own horn on that. That was kind of off the top. That was the segue into the read there. That was cool. Probably need to get back to doing it like that. That's always fun. That being said, Chase was right. Oh, that's what I was going to mention. We had Tony on yesterday. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I told you it was going to be entertaining. Now, I know we talked a while, number one. And two, we talked about a whole bunch of different stuff. We didn't even really get we got like halfway through what we planned on getting to, which totally makes sense. If you know me and Tony, I mean, we could sit there and chop it up forever. That being said, if you missed it, go back and watch it from yesterday. It came on at the top of the hour, so you can always just jump ahead to about like the midway point on yesterday's stream, and you'll catch that. And we penciled him in. We told him, Tony, you've got to come back, right? You've got to come back to finish everything, because we didn't even get to, as you guys saw, I mean, he was dressed, or I guess lack of dress, right? He was shirtless. Like, that's his brand, right? You know, Crazy Tony, that's his thing. But he had his staff. He had his man. I don't want to get it wrong. Not medallion, but you know what I mean, like the neck piece, right? We didn't even get into all of that. Like, I mean, Tony is so entertaining and interesting, man. So we're going to do that next Wednesday. We'll bring him back on. So it'll actually be a similar schedule. Because Tuesday, as you guys probably remember, we had Clint Lamb from Cover Crimson on here. We got him scheduled every Tuesday now, top the hour, which is really exciting. Always good to talk ball. And he does a great job. So we'll have him next Tuesday, top the hour. Then we'll run it back with Tony on Wednesday again. So we'll start kind of getting these things. And maybe we'll just get Tony. Maybe we'll just pencil Tony in, because I feel like that would be very entertaining itself. So if he can make some time out of his busy schedule, we'll probably try to do that for sure. The other thing I wanted to hit on real quick while we got some time this first segment. We did not forget about the podcast with Slade. Like I told you guys, just trying to iron some stuff out. And he still was traveling and whatnot. And I thought about this because I see Paul in here. He said he's got a perfect name. And I was going to call on you guys. I was texting Slade yesterday. And we're just shooting these names back and forth. Because I'll be honest, I'm the worst. I don't know if you guys are like me. Probably not. But I can't decide on, like, when it comes to, like, coming up with names, usernames, all that kind of stuff, it takes years for me. And so I've been trying to come up with these names for this podcast with Slade. And I'm definitely probably just overthinking it. And we're just exchanging them. And I came up with a couple yesterday that I'm like, I feel like these could work. So I'm going to throw them out here. And I want you guys to tell me what you guys think. And if you have some more, I know you guys are like, dude, you've been asking for names and we've been dropping names. You just aren't listening. I promise I'm listening. But sometimes I don't get all of them. So I actually want to lock in today because my goal is to get this name for this podcast by, like, really today. But I would just say by the end of this week, so we really can, you know, let it rip once we get back out of the bye week. But the two that I had yesterday, right, and the goal is I wanted to obviously have some influence from, I mean, here, of course, right? I mean, we're both former Alabama guys. We're majority of the time going to be talking and breaking down Alabama stuff. But I'm like, I don't want to limit us too much just in case we want to start stretching out and doing more, different tape, different stuff, different, you know, conversations. I just don't want to put us in a box if it's just straight crimson this or rolled this. You get what I'm saying? But I still wanted to have that influence, just a little more generic. So I came up with two, or I found, I can't remember if I came up with them. I think I was asking ChatGPT and then mixing stuff up. Anyway, Chase, I want to get your input on this too. And you guys in the chat, let me know. All right. So, and Paul, I'm going to read yours too, because I actually think that's dope. Where did it go? Let me see the text there with Slade. All right. So I had the process report, right? It's kind of a play on words, you know, like progress report, but the process report, right? The process, and that stems from obviously, you know, Alabama Coach Saban, our era. I thought that was pretty dope, but it's showing respect to that side of things, but it's not, it's a little more generic where we still can branch out. And then the other one was, built by breakdowns. I thought that one was dope. You know what I mean? Like the whole built by Bama thing, but built by breakdowns, right? Breakdowns done by the built by boys or something. I don't know. You get what I'm saying? Built by breakdowns. I thought that was cool too, but then I was like, man, and then it's kind of like only breakdowns. And like, what if we just want to hop on here and just chop it up? We're not breaking it down. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking that. So those are the two, and I'll write them on here so you guys can see it and give me your thoughts. And then I think the last one was setting the standard. Setting the standard. That was the third one. So built by breakdowns, the process report, and then setting the standard. I thought those three were like kind of like the perfect blend of like what we're aiming for. But I saw what Paul wrote, and Paul's was dope. He came up with X's and bros, like X's and O's, but X's and bros. That's actually... Chase, that's smooth, man. Shout out to Paul in the chat. That is smooth. That's smooth. X's and bros. Only thing is, man, if you're a young dude and you're kind of think X's and bros, it kind of low-key can kind of sound like some drama between X's and like your homeboys. Like EX. Like ex-girlfriends. But obviously it's not a thing. X's and bros, though, like when you see it the way it's written, it's clearly football for sure. But no, that's a dope name. I think Paul's actually smooth. So anyway, so I guess we got four right now. And I'll write them again so you guys can see them. But I'll stop talking about this now. I just wanted to throw this out there because I need y'all's help. I really do need y'all's help. So that's what we got. The process report. And again, this is for a podcast for me and Slade to do. The process report, built by breakdowns, setting the standard, and X's and bros. So I don't know. Think about it. Sit on it. We got all show and tomorrow, I guess. Y'all think on it. Let me know. Maybe we'll do a poll. We'll come up with something. Then we'll get that rolling. Because I really want to get that going for you guys. I know you guys are really excited about that. And I know Slade's like eager to get going as well. So there you have it. That being said, we're going to hit our first timeout. When we come back, we'll actually talk some football. We'll just talk some bye week thoughts, right? We'll dive into some Alabama stuff for sure, right? There's been a lot of conversations I've been seeing this week just about the team, right? Kind of where we're at. Some stuff we kind of talked about with Clint. Maybe we'll piggyback off of that. We always can do some breakdown stuff. So if you guys have anything in particular that you want to take a look at, we've already looked at our running game a little bit. But if there's anything else you guys want to take a look at, we can always do that. I've got that ready to roll. Plus, I might just take a look around the rest of the country, the rest of the conference, stuff like that, because I know a lot of people are gearing up for the playoff bracket, the first playoff, bracket that will be coming out. Taking a look and see where that stands, where that kind of, is and all that stuff. So we'll do all that. Plus, I want to hear from you guys, man. So if you guys got any questions, comments, whatever, man, it's a bye week. We can have fun. We got plenty of time and we got plenty of opportunities. So you can do that by hitting us up on the phone line, 205-342-9904. You can tune into the live stream here on YouTube or on Facebook. Drop your questions and comments, all that stuff right there in the chat. We can discuss it. Or you can always download that Tide 100.9 app, which I recommend you do that regardless. But there you can leave your app messages where we also can read them. And they've got a voice feature. So if you can't call in, you literally can just leave a voice memo message, whatever the case is. And we can play it on there and do it that way. So we'd love to hear from you guys. Again, bye week. We got plenty of time. And we're going to take advantage of it right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arts Support.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTVC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Expert. Yesterday, while we were talking with Tony, head coach Kalen DeBoer did do his weekly teleconference. Now, we don't have an opponent this week, but he obviously had plenty of time to reflect on where they stand as a team and what they've got going moving forward. Plus, I know he did have some updates on some of the injured guys. To my understanding, we're pretty positive. So let's start there. Let's go ahead and hear from Kalen DeBoer yesterday as he did his weekly teleconference with the SEC.
On the call today, the Crimson Tide are open this week prior to hosting LSU next Saturday, November 8th. To ask a question for Coach, please use the raise hand function. And while we wait on those questions, Coach, if you could take a moment to comment on your team as you go through this open date.
Yeah, you bet. Proud of the guys, just the way we found a way to win on Saturday, and much needed bye week for us right now. Guys are utilizing it the right way and looking forward to being fresh, having a geek this week and going to next week's prep for LSU.
First, we have Charlie Potter of Bama Online.
Yeah, hey, Coach. Just wanted to see if you had an update on guys like Isaiah Horton and Latsier Brooks and maybe the early outlook for them for next week.
Yeah, I expect those guys to be ready to go for LSU. So Lottie was especially rolling out there today and making good progress. And Isaiah just got digged up in the first half there of the game. And, he's making good progress too. But I'd expect the both of them to be ready for LSU.
Next is Joe Gaither of Bama Central.
Hey, Coach, good morning. I'd like to get your assessment on the running game of the last couple of weeks, especially as it pertains to the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the whole group. It's not just one person or one part of it. It's the whole group. It's a different piece, being consistent and doing what they got to do every single play. There's good reps and there's ones where we struggle. We got to be better. I think it's just also being in sync with our running backs
and them, you know, giving us something too, you know, on the back end, and whether that's falling head to yard for yards or breaking tackles, you know, I think it's a full group effort. You know, a lot goes on the offensive line, obviously, but we just got to keep working, keep getting better.
Next is Colin Gay of the Tuscaloosa News.
Hey, Kalen, just kind of along the same lines as Charlie's question, but do you have an update on Quay Rousseau, his status moving forward? Is he progressing or where is he at?
Yeah, he's doing really good on a timeline that we had hoped or maybe even a little bit of ahead, but don't know exactly what that's going to be. You know, we're not quite there yet, but he's making great progress. And, you know, you can see just even in his face, he's feeling good about the direction it's going, and can't wait to get back out there.
And obviously you said that Jamarian Latham is going to miss the rest of the year, but I'm curious about the impact that you've seen him make being around the program, especially after an injury like the one he suffered.
With Jamarian Latham?
Yeah, Jamarian, yes.
Yeah, no, he's out there today cheering the guys on, and you know, just like those guys, you know, we talk about that are on the field that bring great energy. You know, there's so much respect for Jamarian, and you know, you see that and how important it is for him for us to be successful. So yeah, he's out there cheering us on and helping other guys out, you know, looking at the calls, and he's engaged, you know, even understanding his circumstances.
Thanks.
Next is Kenton Smith of the Associated Press.
Morning, Coach DeBoer. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you. You too.
This isn't your first year with Ryan Grubb, obviously, but this is his first year at Alabama. You also have a first-year starting quarterback in Ty Simpson. How have you seen those two build a relationship with each other, and how have each of them positively impacted the offense this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a relationship that exists, you know, where you just enjoy hanging out, and I think that continues to grow, and what adds to it is the experiences that they've gone through, you know, the moments that they've fought together and been on the same page and come through and had success. You know, it's just a great room that we have there with the quarterbacks, and, you know, it involves those two. It involves Nick Sheridan, who does an amazing job, along with the other two guys who are so supportive, with Austin and Keelan. And so, yeah, their relationship and just the way they communicate, it becomes more and more efficient. There's reps that they can refer to now because of their experiences together, where, you know, Coach Grubb can say something and Ty can quickly understand, you know, what the meaning is and what the expectation is, and how we should execute when that moment comes up the next time.
Next, we have Joseph Goodman of AL.com.
Kalen, have a fun off-week Halloween-related question for you. Are you familiar with the movie Friday the 13th?
I'm familiar with it. I suppose, Jason, you use that name.
No, we're old questions. I wanted to ask progression-wise in the program of finding a way to win in the cleanup from South Carolina, because I would argue that game may have been an L last year instead of a win. Where do you think progression-wise your program is right now, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that, you know, you never know. I mean, guys make plays, but I think the thing you saw on the sideline was still a belief and a fight. And everyone, you know, having some energy, which is going to lead to giving you a chance to win. And so, we just needed better execution at times. And, you know, unfortunately it took us a while to get there in certain phases of the game. And we made enough plays though to keep it in at arm's length and, you know, make the drive at the end there to tie it, and the 2-point conversion is ready. Some of it is too. I think about the plays at the end, whether it's the first touchdown, the second touchdown, or everything that led up to it. You know, there's just concepts and things that we executed on both sides of the ball that we've just had so many repetitions of, whether it's been something we've shown on film and actually done. That might not be the case, but we've had enough repetitions in practice to where there's a confidence when we lined up, for example, to run the two-point conversion. Our guys didn't flinch. There was no one that had to think about, okay, what's my job on this play? We've never run this. Like, they've repped it so many times that they just went out there and executed. And it's something no one has seen here, at least recently, to prep for. So, you know, this banked reps leads to confidence, which leads to execution, especially in the critical times. But we just kept applying pressure, and we understand that's what we got to do. You might be right. I think, you know, I compared a little bit with someone else. Someone brought up the Vanderbilt game a year ago, where we had a drive going down the field and we ended up turning it over, but that drive could have been a chance to win the game. And, you know, that was similar to this last week, where we would have had a chance and, you know, we got an unfortunate bounce off of one of our players on the punt return. And, that set the opponent up, and they scored, South Carolina scored a touchdown, but we didn't flinch. We came back and kept playing ball.
There is a belief, and this is why I want to get your thoughts on it, that Ty was just off just a bit. How would you characterize how Ty played as a whole in that game Saturday, Coach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know that you can look at just one thing. I mean, the completion percentage. I mean, he's an accurate passer, really accurate, and his standard's extremely high relative to others. And so, that alone right there is an indication that, you know, for one reason or another, we weren't hitting, as clean and as efficient as we like to, and of course that always falls on the quarterback, it always does, but, there's other ways we could have helped him. You know, he could protect a little bit better. You can run a route a little bit better, and you can catch the ball a couple more times on those balls that were catching contact. So, it's a full unit, and it does fall on Ty. But he, again, made the plays down the stretch, and he battled. And if there was anyone that believed, it was him. And that, was certainly something our team felt. And that's why they kept playing until the very end.
Coach, we'll finish you up with Katie Windham of Bama Central.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, Kaylin. With LSU making changes on their coaching staff, just kind of how has that had to change y'all's preparation over these next 2 weeks with facing LSU?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just the one side of the ball, with the offensive coordinator position on their end. And so, understanding you might get some different looks, some different tendencies, things like that. So, those players are out there, and we understand how talented they are. They got a lot of juice, a lot of speed, a lot of playmakers. We gotta be at our best, and seeing teams that come together, seeing teams that fall apart, we can't worry about that because we don't control that piece. We can just control who we are, and we got to continue to get better on our end.
Thank you.
Yep.
So there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer yesterday doing his weekly teleconference call, right? And so we just heard that. Now we got to hit a timeout to catch back up on our break. So when we come back, We'll discuss a couple things that he mentioned there. I definitely want to hit on some of the injury updates. I know a lot of you guys have been asking about a number of those guys, so we got some of those. And we'll discuss it and more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mesrino, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so we just heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer, right? We were listening to him give us some updates on the injury report. Those guys have been banged up. I think most notably, you know, you mentioned Quay Rousseau. Will be interesting to see if we can get him back. The good news is, I mean, a lot of guys have been stepping up. First and foremost, Yanze Pierre has been excellent. Everything you've needed him to be since Quay has gone down. So that's been great. But then even seeing guys like, you know, Justin Hill stepping up and, you know, he's a young player, but they rely on him to go in there, play on early downs, right? I mean, he's doing a nice job. Matter of fact, speaking of him, I quote tweeted this clip. Hell, we can talk about this real quick. Let me throw this on here. But Justin, and I know some of you guys are probably confused on kind of what I was getting at with this tweet. I don't think you shouldn't have been, but there's one guy that clearly didn't read the tweet right. But I'll explain this for our radio listeners what's happened. So basically, speaking of Justin Hill, which I love the dude, man. He's a great kid, by the way. So you got the situation in the game against South Carolina, and we're in our – basically, it's a 3-4 defense. It's just it's a little bit different than what I'm used to because you've got the – you know, the other outside backer, like, you know, kind of in that mug there in that B-gap position. But long story short, Justin Hill is in this apex position, right? So he's keying the tight end here. And basically the original tweet was, you know, pointing out like how he did such a great job setting this edge right here. And I kind of quoted it and I just responded basically saying, I get that it, like off just like the initial view, it feels like, oh man, he did a hell of a job going and setting this edge because he ends up blowing the tight end back like 5 yards, right? And I love everything about the physicality, the mindset, just go blow somebody up. I mean, I'm never going to coach against that. However, I took it a step further because what the coaches would be saying in this instance is, while that's a great, again, mindset and you know, great play from a physicality standpoint. Take a look at this if you're on the YouTube stream. This is what I was trying to explain. We actually end up taking ourselves out of the play and you inevitably almost basically kind of go back to giving up the edge because what happens is you blow this guy up so much. Look at like the path of the back. Yes, he does have to cut up slightly, but realistically, you basically open it back up, and hopefully you guys understand what I was getting at. You see what I'm saying here? If you guys are watching on the YouTube stream, the progression would be in the coaching point. This is all I was saying. I wasn't trying to, you know, tell Chase that what he was saying was wrong, but from a outside backer perspective, which again, I've played my whole life, sometimes you can kind of overdo something. And this would be an example of that. Because I know this because I literally have done this before. Like I did this one time in the game, and this was the exact coaching point that I got. Because I was just like, man, I'm amped up. I'm just going to go bully this tight end. I bullied him so bad, I blew him back just like this. That theoretically, there's actually no edge again. And I know we end up making the play. I'll let it run real quick. We end up making the play, and it looks like, oh, well, you know, he set the edge, and that's why he made this play. Yonze was going to be on that path anyways. Yonze was, you know, running down the line, and he's a great athlete. But what I'm getting at is just a little coaching point for a guy, like a younger guy. Just like a good opportunity for him to learn. Like, while we love the physicality and you're blowing him up, you can see it better here. Our attention is so much on this guy and blowing him up. And look at the back. I mean, he has a little cut, but that's still, look at the, like, that's the edge. You know what I mean? Like, it's still there. We just make a good play. So what I would like is just don't blow him up so much. You blow him up initially, get that knockback. And then the next step would be, you're going to cross it off of that. You know, I know some people might be like, oh, but why isn't he trying to play the outside on that leverage? Well, sometimes you can play you can set the edge vertically like that, and it actually works out the same, which is what he initially was doing. He just took it a little bit too far. Because there's going to be times like you don't actually set up like if you go back and watch, there's a clip with Yonze, and I'll try to pull it up, where he sets the edge outside arm free. He gets off the block, he makes a tackle, and his tackle philosophy is perfect. It's like teach tape. But it's not always going to be perfect like that, especially when you get these wide arc blocks like these tight ends do. Sometimes you got to play a vertical like that. But anyway, just saying his name made me think about that and that tweet that I put. But nonetheless, that said, we can work with this, man. Seeing a young guy, a true freshman out there bullying guys, and I think that that's an older guy, Chase said. I think he was like a redshirt senior or something like that. We can work off that. That's nothing but a quick little technique thing we can discuss, but. Just little things like that, man. You clean these little things up, and I'm telling you, it leads to so much more, I guess, success and limiting stuff, if you get what I'm saying. That being said, we got to hit another timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. We got plenty of questions. And there's one question I do want to ask you guys, and it's regarding the remainder of the schedule and y'all's opinion on it. How do you see it going for Alabama? We'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, 4 hours of Alabama football talk. We'll do it right here starting at 2 p.m. We've got Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll have a chance to talk to Bruce Marshall, Josh from College Football Nerds, Aaron Torres right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton at townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are miss a jam-packed home slate of conference foes, including South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. The season tips off on November 3rd, and we can't wait to see you there.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
gallons. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 57. Clear and cold tonight, the low 39. Colder pockets might see some scattered light frost. Beautiful day tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the afternoon high 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. So I know we got some questions and things in the chat. I'm going to get to those here in a second, but I want to throw this at you because I know this has kind of been a talking point. During the bye week, right, we're kind of about three quarters of the way through the season, four games remaining, three of those being home games in a row, by the way. And then you travel to Auburn to cap things off in the regular season. That being said, I'm just genuinely curious where everybody stands on how you feel like we finish out, right? We've gone 7-1 at this point. We've been, you know, completely perfect in terms of wins since the week one loss to Florida State. Do you guys see that changing, right? I mean, just think about who we face as far. And I want to be clear. I mean, anything can happen on any Saturday. We know that. But you guys heard me say this. In my opinion, I thought our biggest challenges technically are in the rearview mirror. Now, that I mean we're just automatically going to win the next four games, but that's kind of what I was thinking, last few weeks. And even still, when I look at it, I mean, that hadn't changed much since then, since I made those comments. LSU fired their head coach. They looked okay in that first half against A&M, but then the second half was a complete disaster. They got abused in the second half. Oklahoma, just to me, they still, post-Mateer injury, just aren't really as much of a threat as I initially thought. Defense is still really good. I just don't think offensively they're clicking like they probably were or should be. And then the last real test, right? Auburn on the road. I mean, we know what Auburn is right now. I mean, they've got a quarterback issue. They benched their quarterback. However, we know it's tough to go on the road and play Auburn. That being said, I'm just curious kind of what you guys are feeling regarding the rest of the schedule. I see Ricky's in here saying LSU and Auburn are trap games, especially Auburn. I would say Auburn for sure. It could be something that in like a trap game, knowing it's Auburn, playing on the road at Auburn and what all that entails. I mean, I'm with you on that, especially if you go into it the wrong mindset. I mean, because those dudes, I don't care what the record is or what anything is. Those dudes, are you going to get their best shot 1,000%. 1,000%. And then it's just they got the weird vibes there. I mean, we all know how that goes. LSU, do we call it a trap game? I mean, if you think about it, I know they've got a fired head coach situation right there. But if you look at their record right now, I mean, is it really a trap game? I mean, their only losses come to like top 10 teams, I'm pretty sure. They've lost to number three, Texas A&M. They've lost to Vanderbilt, who's currently at like number nine. And they've lost to Ole Miss, who's currently, where's the, number seven, Ole Miss, number nine, Vanderbilt, and number three, Texas A&M. Those are their three losses. So I don't know if I would call LSU a trap game. See, it says, what's the definition of a trap game? I mean, on broad terms, what? A game that you're expected to win, a game against a team that, you know, on paper, onto whatever is, you know, an inferior opponent, that you end up getting trapped, right? You expect you're just going to go out there and beat this team probably pretty easily, and then it ends up being an upset. I mean, I don't know, Chase. I mean, is that a pretty good definition of a trap game to you? I mean, what do you think?
I would say so. I think of an example this season, Penn State and UCLA. That was a trap game for Penn State. You know, no one expected them to win. It was, you know, UCLA was literally on their deathbed trying to figure out their season, and look what happened. Kind of was moving forward. So I would say LSU could be a trap game because the identity has changed. So much turmoil is going on. Alabama doesn't know what LSU is going to look like because Brian Kelly's not there. So it's just so much variables that are questionable right now. But, yeah, I feel like that could possibly be a trap game. I know Auburn definitely is for sure. Like, every year for them is.
Yeah, that's fair. I get, to me, I almost feel like we're broadening the stipulations for trap games a little much. Only for me, because I'm like, I used to feel like you said, like, granted, I don't know if UCLA was, you know, I know hindsight is definitely a trap game. I don't know before. I guess maybe. But normally it's like, to me, it's something like where, all right, like Vanderbilt was the definition, I guess, of a trap game last year. Because going into it, a lot of people are just like, oh, it's Vanderbilt. But then if you really dive deep and you're like, all right, them up to this point, I mean, they've been playing some good ball. They got a new quarterback. They brought a new coaching staff. To me, like, it has to have those elements. It has to have elements of you should go out there and win this game. But then there's like some, not necessarily, and they might not even be hidden, but some small little details that if you really just pay attention to it, they're worth noting and you probably should pay attention to, but they're often overlooked, right? Yeah, like Chiefs of the game, you overlook. I would take it a step further and say, like, if there's elements there that you're probably overlooking that you shouldn't, but you do anyway, could definitely set it up to be a trap game. FSU, that's a good example, like Ricky said. You know, you look at their schedule from, or excuse me, the record from last year, how they had, you know, what, a 2-10 season. But you look, you know, you take a look under the hood, right? You take it to AutoZone, you pop the hood and you see, all right, they got all new coordinators. I mean, revamped the whole roster. We know Gus Malzahn and the type of offense he runs, how that's issues. That always causes issues, right? Yeah, like warning signs. Like there's, you overlook somebody even though there's some slight warning signs there. I guess LSU could be that now just because of the head coach thing. But really, I mean, you're talking about a team they got a lot of talent. They've only lost, the three games they've lost literally all were to top 10 teams. So maybe that's like a minor trap game in a sense. But to me, I'm like, I mean, they're still a really good team. Auburn for sure, though. Auburn for sure. Definitely, we call it. But anyway, while we take this top of the hour break, I want you guys to think on that. What do you think, you know, happens over the next four games? What do you think our record will be? Think Bama wins out, ends up being an 11-1 football team going into a potential SEC championship game, playoff berth? I think we lose one. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Here's Isaac Lohengrin.
In Game 5 of the World Series on Wednesday night, the Toronto Blue Jays topped the Los Angeles Dodgers 6-1 for a 3-2 lead. The story Toronto starter, Trey Yesavage, who set a World Series rookie record with 12 strikeouts in 7 innings for the win, allowing one run on 2 hits with no walks. Offensively, Davis Schneider and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. led off the game with back-to-back home runs. It was the first time that has ever happened in 705 all-time World Series games. Multiple outlets report the Minnesota Twins are hiring Derek Shelton as their new manager. He previously managed the Pittsburgh Pirates for 5-plus seasons. NBA Wednesday night, Austin Reeves hit a 12-foot runner at the buzzer to give the Los Angeles Lakers a 116-115 win at Minnesota.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Hardin Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. All right, you guys see, we got the schedule pulled up. The remainder of it, 4 games left, man. Like, the season was, like, flying by, then it slowed down, and then I feel like it's, like, picking back up. Kind of crazy to think about. Good news is, I mean, 3 straight home games. It's going to be nice, man. Really nice. Not only for our guys, I mean, that's always great, but for the fans, I mean, that's fun. I'm looking at it right now, Chase. And again, the question is, how do you guys think we finish out the regular season, right? Again, 4 games remaining in the regular season. We kick things off as when we return from the bye week against LSU, a team that they're littered with talent. They got good players, a team that was picked to do a lot of big stuff going into the season. The quarterback that a lot of people thought was one of the best in the SEC. They haven't been that this year. He's been banged up, riddled with injuries. Hasn't looked, you know, like the player people thought he would be this season. LSU obviously is struggling. I wouldn't say they're struggling to a point where it's like, at least in my opinion, I didn't think they were struggling to a point where they're just going to fire their coach like that. Again, we just talked about it. I mean, their 3 losses were to all came to top 10 teams, but I mean, that's where we're at in college football at this point. Now, 2 of those losses were back to back. They lost to Vanderbilt on the road, and that's when you kind of started hearing the rumblings amongst the fans and I guess that whole area. And then after basically, you know, peeing down their legs the second half against Texas A&M, dropping that one 49-25, they cut the cord, which so interesting. I've seen videos, I guess, that they got politicians talking about they're not going to let the AD choose the next coach. They're going to let all these, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, they got a little bit of a mess over there. But, I mean, they started the year, I mean, they got the win over Clemson. Clemson obviously ended up not really doing much. I guess, I mean, they didn't really have anything. 20-10 win over Florida, then 20-10 win over South Carolina. And then we saw that. I mean, played Ole Miss was close. I mean, 24-19 final score there. And lost to Vanderbilt by 1 score. What I'm getting at is, I mean, it's kind of similar to South Carolina. Like, you look at the record, it says one thing, but you look at it, they fired their coach, it says another thing. But really, they're still a good football team. I just think if I had to pick one of these teams to be the biggest challenge left at this point, I would probably say Oklahoma because of that defense. That defense and offense is capable. That, to me, probably is something. I do kind of, you know, the whole on the road at Auburn thing definitely kind of has me thinking a little bit, but I don't know. Chase, what do you think? Out of those four games, who's the biggest challenge we got left for you?
It would have to be Oklahoma. Just, I understand that Mateer hasn't played to his abilities because of injuries, right? But Oklahoma is a very dangerous team because they're on the back end of their schedule. You know, they're not performing the way they need to perform, and they're looking at Alabama like lunch meat. They want to play spoiler when Alabama wants to finish her season off high and tied, quote unquote. But yeah, I feel like Venable, he pulled one off last year and he understands what that feels like, and he has the players and the structure to do it. That's why I feel like Oklahoma, out of LSU, who is a dumpster fire, Eastern Illinois, no disrespect, Auburn, they're on the cleft of trying to figure out their coaching position with Hugh Freeze. So I feel like Oklahoma is probably the most structured, has a fighting chance, and poses a lot of threat both to the offensive and defensive side of the ball for Alabama.
As we all know, it's just the whole mystique of going and playing at Jordan-Hare and those dudes, I'm telling you, man, like every time I played them, even when they were trash, like it's like these dudes get like a power up when they play us. It's like, why don't y'all play everybody like that? Like, why don't, like, you probably would be a better team if you would do that instead of like only like they put everything into us. Cause what happens typically is they have these high hopes and we always play them late. So by the time that we play them, they've already kind of, all their goals are kind of out the window. So the only thing they've got left is like, all right, to beat Alabama. I mean, it makes sense. And we're right. I mean, I get it. But I'm just like, man, if y'all had that energy throughout the whole year, man, you probably would win more games, respectfully. OU had a bye last year, which is plenty of time to game plan for Bama. Do they have a bye before we play them this year? Let's see. They play Tennessee on the 1st, and then why is there no date for the game? Let me click on Alabama. Sorry, I was looking at Oklahoma's schedule. I did watch them play Ole Miss, and they definitely, I mean, they look solid in that game, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. Oklahoma's definitely the biggest challenge left. That being said, if I had to guess, I hate the guessing game. You guys know how that is. And I hate guessing, like, where we're going to go. They could go any way, man. Like, would it shock me if we dropped one? No, it wouldn't, man. I mean, we're in the SEC and we still got a little bit of a, I wouldn't call this a gauntlet, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch. Nice buffer, though, with Eastern Illinois right there. I don't know, though, man. It's just, the fact that we've got two, I'm just going to count the three games. I'm going to ignore Eastern Illinois. The fact that two of those three SEC games remaining are at home, in the ones LSU and Oklahoma specifically, it makes me feel a lot more confident, right? If we were going on the road to either one of those places, even given these situations, like with, you know, circumstances with LSU, it would be a little bit different. But the fact that we got those at home, man, I mean, I don't know, bro. I don't know. Everybody keeps talking about the stealing signs thing. That's not from that one clip, is it? That one clip. I saw that clip of that dude. He read that screen. Are people just saying that? I don't know. I don't know, Chase. Wait, did you guess? Did you give us a record on yours or no? If you didn't, I'm not doing. I don't want to do it, man. I can't remember if you did or not. Did you tell us if you think we'll lose one or no?
Yeah, I had said that possibly. Oklahoma could be the team. I don't think it's possible, but if I had to guess, if you were like, you got to guess, or it is what it is, then I would say Oklahoma, because I don't, LSU, again, they've kind of, a lot of variables that, you saw how their governor was. That is, in itself, is crazy. Yeah. Eastern Illinois, it's always kind of a prep game for us to get prepared for Auburn, how crazy it can get down in Jordan-Hare. But yeah, I feel like Oklahoma has the best chance to do it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not giving a prediction on it. What will go? I'm just letting it play out. I hate doing that because I know how people try to go track these receipts and say, "Oh, well, you said, man, nah, I ain't got you. I ain't doing it." So I'll give you that. Though I do think Oklahoma is the biggest challenge remaining. Wait, so Lane said that they that Oklahoma was stealing signs. That's where that came from. I mean, here's the thing. What do you mean by, or at what length are we talking about stealing signs? That would be the biggest, I guess, question for me, because I would be lying if I said us on defense never tried to look over and see what signals are coming into this offense. Again, it is different nowadays, too, because they've got the helmet on. But before, I mean, like, why wouldn't you do that? That's not illegal, right? Me and my dad have talked about that on the show before. Like, everybody does that. It's no different to, like, when we used to, like, as a front, right? I used to listen to everything that the center and the quarterback were saying pre-snap. Why wouldn't I? I mean, guys, you're trying to get every advantage you can get. So if I'm like listening to these calls and checks that they're making and I'm putting two and two together, hell yeah, we call that birds and rabbits, right? Like we literally, when we used to do our Friday meetings, we'd have somebody in charge of like a birds and rabbits report. Now it wasn't so much on that because we're watching tape. There's only so much you can do, but on tape, we would point out tendencies, right? Stances of guards. If we notice, hey man, the right guard, you know, 9 times out of 10, when he's really light on his front hand and he's in more of a squat position, 9 times out of 10, it shows that they're running the football. Like we always are looking for that kind of stuff, like that type of information, right? That only makes you better. If the tackle, right? A lot of times, and I remember I forgot what team it was, but like there was one team we played, literally it was like damn near 100%. When the tackle was in a true 2-point, right? It was pass. When he put his finger in the dirt, they literally ran the ball like every time. So stuff like that, you know, tendencies, which I say all that to say, if Oklahoma was doing it in that fashion, man, that's football, brother. Lane's got to get over that. I mean, that's playing smart ball. I think it's more of a nod. Honestly, I just think Venables is a hell of a defensive coach, man. I mean, I knew that when we were playing against him at Clemson, and hell, there's a reason he's known for great defense. I mean, he does a hell of a job, man. And that's, I'm telling you, that's also one of the reasons why if we did drop one, I would see it come into probably Oklahoma, because I could just see their defense being such a force, and with them having an offense as capable to making it really come down to like critical moments, really close games. And I'll be honest, we've had those moments, and yes, I'm proud of how we responded, but I'm just going to keep it honest with you guys. We're probably due at some point to have some of those critical moments had the ball not fall our way, because I feel like the ball has fell our way like dang near probably 80% of the time this year in these critical moments, like situations that are kind of like a toss-up. We've been on like whether you want to call it luck or just like perfect execution. Hopefully it's more on the execution side of things, but I'm not going to lie. There's been a lot of situations where I'm like, damn, ball has been falling on our side of the court a lot. If it comes down to that in the Oklahoma game, you never know. It might not that game, and maybe you don't finish the way you want. So who knows? We'll talk more about it, but first we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we go to the phone lines. We got Smitty, we've got Anon, and we'll keep on rolling from there right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Starting early at 7 a.m. and the race kicks off at 8. 2 days of community, energy, and inspiration. Don't miss it. The Hunter Whitley Butterfly Initiative. Running for hope, flying for change.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 57. Clear and cold tonight, the low 39. Colder pockets might see some scattered light frost. And a beautiful day tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine. The afternoon high 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arch support experts. Don't forget, head on over to R&R Cigars right now. I know Tennessee Week is over, but they still got plenty of cigars for all our active cigar smokers, or if you're looking for a gift, whatever the case may be, Christmas is coming up. Make sure you guys check them out, rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge, get you that 20% discount. Make sure you guys take advantage of that. And if you're in town, you got to go check out the mansion, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, right there, downtown Tuscaloosa. They've got the environment for you, the wraparound porch. And I know it's getting cold, but they've got heaters. They've got TVs outside, plus inside. You can kick back, relax. It's a great place just to hang out and watch football. If you're ever looking for places to watch the game and go fellowship, man, that is a spot to do it. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Man, how's it going, Christian?
Man, I can't complain. What's up, Smitty?
Man, still be like 80-something, 90 degrees here in sunny Phoenix. No complaints.
So you're trying to rub it in our face, bro? Rub it in our face? Like, come on, man.
Hey, I'm putting that brisket on the smoker this weekend to rub it in on everybody. But
come on, Smitty. Come on. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, man, a couple of things. We show that Justin Hill play. The thing I thought about was, boy, these young guys are hungry. And like you said, because you took the words out of my mouth, the boy is physical. He's tough. We could work with that. If he was soft, there ain't nothing you could do about that, you know. It's kind of like you could tell someone to turn it down instead of turning it up. And I think that right there shows, okay, we made a right evaluation. And I think like DeJohn Lee, he took over the starting spot. Damani Jackson entered camp in the season as number one guy, but DeJohn Lee's been better, and they showing it. And it seems like he's helping out with the run D as well. And so, to me, that's good for recruiting as well because, hey, you'll get an opportunity to show out. And it also may put some veterans on notice where, hey, if you ain't performing, we got these young guys here ready to take your spots here.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and that's how it should be. We always talk about this because I remember people were saying like, oh, well, they're just playing this guy because of this. Or I'm like, no, man, this is college football. This is not, you know, middle school, peewee, or even high school, JV, whatever someone might be used to. This is, I mean, this is a business, right? Especially now more than ever. Guys are going to play, you know, the guys that can contribute and help win football games are going to play. There's like the favorite, you know, favoritism stuff like, yeah, coaches might have guys that like, you know, they like, they respect them, right? Right. But like, nah, man, if you can play, you can play. And I think that's what this coaching staff does. I mean, hell, if you're practicing well and you can contribute and you're showing that they can rely on you, you're going to get some opportunities. And I think that does help. We talked about, you know, a lot of guys, you know, choosing to stay and not transfer. I mean, that's got to be part of the reason if you think about it. I mean, look, I mean, that kind of keeps a lot of people happy. I know it would if a lot of guys I played with, I mean, we didn't really get that luxury. I mean, we were blowing people out. Yeah, we'd go in, you know, trash minutes, and we were just excited about that and hungry for that. I can only imagine if, I mean, we had a rotation of like everybody just getting reps like that. Like, man, these guys got it pretty good.
Yeah, and I actually listened to a Joe Klatt interview where he checked Colin Cowherd. Okay, he was saying, Little Norris Sellers, he has juice. I'm not saying Little Norris is bad. Just give me, follow me here. But he said, Ty Simpson has no juice. And I'm like, Joe corrected him, rightly. Ty wins from the pocket. And, like, what happened is a lot of these pundits fall in love with traits, guy. And we know you win from the pocket. And I think that is what's showing what Ty is. Is he Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow? No. But you're winning with him because he knows how to maneuver in the pocket. And that was a great pass rush. The offensive line didn't have it, but he did a good job extending plays, stepping up in the pocket, maneuvering in there, because I know you played in the league. Ain't too many clean pockets in the NFL, to be real.
I was about to say, I mean, unless you have a unit like Philly had a couple years, I mean, that's still good, but you know what I mean, like. It's tough, man. But I'll say this. Look, that's why when we talked about the offensive line, that's why I made those comments. Like, we've got to continue to get that cleaned up, you know, because it's important, right? I mean, South Carolina was good, and we saw the effect that had on the game, right? Now, Ty did seem a little bit off, but still.
Everybody.
You know, it doesn't help when you're facing pressure. And we're talking about Oklahoma. You talk about a front, man. I mean, those dudes from outside in, inside out, they've got dudes. It's going to be no different. So, we just got to figure out what we can do to help our guys as much as possible. I mean, at some point, yeah, you do realize, look, man, I mean, the personnel is the personnel. I mean, you just got to come to grips with our right tackle spot is going to be a point of weakness. I mean, whether you roll with Wilkin Formby or Michael Carroll, that is what it is. I mean, Michael Carroll's still green. He's young. He's still learning. And Wilkin, I mean, he just struggles in some aspects. And he is what he is, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's really just inconsistent. I mean, because there's times where he shows some promise, even in pass blocking. I mean, to me, I think he's better in the running game than a pass blocker, 1,000%. But even in the pass game, I mean, like, sometimes, like, I'm like, all right, there we go. Like, that's better technique. Then there's others. It's just like, God, what are you doing? But I think you learn that, hey, that's who we got. And we just got to move on and figure out. We got to roll with it. What can we do to kind of compensate? And that's, you know, using chips, right? Keeping the backs in there and the tight ends, and it is what it is, but it's just frustrating because I'm looking at the guys that we have and like these guys, we should be able to do so much more. Like, there's talent in that offensive line room, man. They're just not putting it all together.
Yeah, because I think with Carroll, his issue is just youth, in my opinion. And he'll get better and more run because he's physical. You see it there, but hey, you can work with that. You know, he's young. I think the problem with Wilkin is when it's bad, it looks real bad. You know, I think that's a problem. But like you talk about the schedule, right? I think at worst they're 3-1. But with Oklahoma, because I watched a couple of their games, Mateer, before even the injury, John Mateer was the offense. They didn't run the ball well before he got hurt. He didn't run the ball well afterwards. And he likes to run around with the ball. He's kind of a run around guy. And his style is he will throw some passes in there that the defense is ready, they can pick him off. And so he likes to run around, and he's been banged up most of the year already. And I think that's something that with Alabama, long as they protect against that front, they'll be fine. With LSU, that's going to be new coach syndrome right there where, hey, interim coach, them guys going to play hard and hair on fire. And with Auburn, I think Kalen DeBoer, that's going to be his welcome to Alabama game playing at Auburn. I think he needs to burn some stage before the game. He holler at Tony Brown, you know. But I just want Bama fans to understand. The media going to pick them apart by how they look because no other team has had the stretch they had. And so you're playing so many good teams. You're not going to look as great if you're playing Northwestern one week and UCLA the next. Shout out to Penn State. But, I want people to understand that the better teams you are, you're not going to blow them away. And understand that, hey, a win is a win. You just want to win these games and make the playoffs and see what happens. Because I'll say this real quick. Yes, I know Ohio State, I believe, is the best team in the country. I think Indiana is a great team. Mm-hmm. They didn't get battle tested week in, week out, because Alabama's been week in, week out. Now those five games, three of them been on the road, you know. And I think that's what may hurt those teams at playoff time. You ain't been battle tested enough. You ain't played those close games. That may be something there because you're playing close competition. I'm not knocking them. They're handling business. But I think that is something that people aren't mentioning there, that road Alabama's taking. And it's a tough – it's been a tough stretch for them. And that's all I have because they got other people. But, hey, you have a good one. Keep up the great work, my man.
Always, man. I appreciate you, Smitty. Good deal. All right, let's do this, man. Good stuff. We'll talk about it. But first, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we got – Anon on the phone lines. We'll keep on rolling as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session. Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Game. The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Back to the phone lines. We go 205-342-9904. We've got Anon up next. Anon, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy Thursday to you.
Man, happy Thursday. What's going on, man?
Just trying to get through this bye week, man. We got some good games on Saturday, so hopefully that carry me into next week. We can do it all again. Sure. Just trying to say, these games, you know, I've been waiting for Bama to turn that corner. And I don't think they're turning any corner, man. I think it's a straight road ahead. These couple of teams we got coming up, those are all tough games.
No. Is there anyone out of all of them that you feel like is going to be the toughest? Or you just say, 1 week at a time, they're all going to be tough?
No. It's going to be 1 week at a time. I think each team is unique in its own way. I don't see it, man. The way things have been going, I think it's just one game at a time. And you know, the offensive coordinator and defense coordinator, they just got to figure it out each game and just take it one game at a time.
Absolutely. Are you right about that? I don't see
it. Yeah, the only easy one I see really is East Carolina, I guess. But all of them, man, like I said, there's no turning the corner for me, man. I think it's just each game is going to be the same going into it. I don't see, I mean, yeah, you got, you know, the situation with us here and the head coach, but the players are still there. You know, Oklahoma, they got mature, you know, he's probably going to get a little healthier. And then, of course, you know, they've got, you know, Jordan here, which is always a, you know, tall task, no matter what that team's record is.
No, 100%. No, I'm with you on that one. That one's going to be interesting, seeing Coach DeBoer on the road and Jordan Hare for the first time. I'd love to hear him post-game, regardless how it goes, just his thoughts on that, because it's definitely it's something different in the air there, 100%. But, no, I'm with you, man. You definitely always got to take everything one week at a time, especially, I mean, LSU. I saw somebody comment. They asked, are we just kind of overlooking it? Is there anything that actually worries us? And I'm like, yeah, no. I mean, there's definitely things to point out. I pulled up this Oklahoma tape just because, to me, I just look at Oklahoma as probably the most complete and the biggest challenge left out of those four games, even though I agree. We got to show up and take care of business one week at a time. You're 100% right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, like I said, you know, Oklahoma, you know, the biggest difference maker this year is that we've got LSU and Oklahoma at home. I think that's helpful, very helpful. But, I got another thing. What's going on with Deontay Lawson? I don't know, man. I'm watching his games. To me, I don't know what he's doing.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be, you know, at this point, it was going to be somebody like a Dylan Moses type player, but I don't know what he's doing, man. He's not attacking. He's not, I don't know, he's missing tackles. I don't get it, man. I don't know if I'm missing anything. You know, let me know if I'm missing something.
No. I do agree there's times there's some inconsistencies there, but. I know you're looking at a guy that, number one, he's a really smart player. He's instinctual. I mean, we know he's got a lot of talent. And if you go back over the last few years, I mean, this guy's played a lot of football. But, you know, coming off a knee injury, it's always tough. And I've talked to him personally. We've talked about that. You know, just finding that confidence in yourself again, after overcoming an injury like that, you know. So, I think it's probably a combination of things. That probably definitely plays a role. Just really being able to trust that you can go out there and play at that same level before. I mean, you're talking about, you know, planting and running and cutting and doing all these things. Sometimes, man, it's like there's a little barrier you gotta overcome. But no, I think he's the good news is I think the last few weeks he's looked a lot better, right? I do agree. You know, earlier on in the season, you know, there were, you know, some plays out there that definitely, you know, had me scratch my head a little bit, but. The last few games, I feel like he's been playing a lot better. And a matter of fact, last game, he had four quarterback hurries. I could be getting this wrong, but I think he's second on team in tackles. I mean, he's doing a lot better. But you're not wrong in saying, like, I think some people, you know, have expectations for him that are probably pretty high, given that he's played a lot of football here. I mean, he's a captain and all that stuff, and I understand that, but. I think he's coming along, but the good news is collectively, I think that unit has done a lot better, right? 41 has really been playing some good football. He's come along great. Nakai Hill Green, transfer from Colorado, he's actually done a lot of good stuff the last few weeks, and it makes sense that he's seen his reps go up. And then Justin Jefferson, I think, has also looked solid as well. So I think those guys working together, they all kind of offer something a little bit different. And I think the linebacker play has been much better. We desperately needed that from where we came from the first couple weeks.
Right. I'm glad you told me that. I didn't figure that the injury was still, he may be having issues with that. But he definitely doesn't look at it. Sometimes he looks, you know, kind of small for the position he's playing. I guess.
I think if I had to give him one piece of it, I mean, I would just say just being a little bit more on the attack. I think sometimes when I do watch them, the biggest issues really is to me is sometimes like, you know, being a step late, being a little hesitant, and just kind of just not really just trusting what he's seeing and going and playing, right? And so whether that's from the injury, whether it's just, you know, with the system, he's, you know, kind of overthinking some stuff, whatever the case may be. I mean, from a talent standpoint, I mean, he can run, he can hit, he can take stuff on. I mean, I've seen him do it. It's just, he's got to do it more consistent. But yeah, nah, but he'll be all right. But no, I don't think you're too far off from saying that. My dad's said that for even before the injury, right? I think somebody said in the comments, like, I think we've been so spoiled. I think sometimes we have these expectations where we're comparing every linebacker to come through here now. We expect them to be a CJ Mosley. We expect them to be a Rolando McClain. And I just don't think, you know, not everybody's going to have those skill sets. You know what I mean? It's actually pretty hard to find guys that are complete players like that. So,
yeah.
But I get where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you say he's being hesitant, because he's definitely, you know, he's waiting for these players to come to him and not attacking. He's not running towards the ball, you know. Almost like an active shooter scenario where you got to go find a shooter, not wait for him to show up.
Now you must be in the, and I ain't trying to put your business. You must have some ties to the police or something. I'm hearing radios. I mean, the examples you give me and those types of situations. I'm like, man.
Well,
that makes sense.
Military law enforcement, a security forces background, and, you know. So I'm just kind of equating that to, you know, hey, you see that guy, man? Just go get him.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, let me be careful. We had Tony on here. We're telling old college stories. Let me be careful. We talk about it here on the show now. Now we know we got enforcement listening. Oh, crap. Let me be careful.
It's
we
all
got
about diamond football, man. It's all about diamond football.
No, that's right. I appreciate it.
Another quick question. What happened to Richard Young?
Man, I mean, he's still in the picture, man. He, you know, he's – look, I think – when it comes down to it, it's kind of, we talked about earlier, it's about the guys that are practicing the best, that give you the best chance to win football games. And it's all about competition, right? Whether it's college, the NFL, whatever. Right. And these coaches definitely take that approach. I mean, they've talked about that in the press conferences, and I witness it, you know, anytime I'm around them. Like, whoever is playing the best ball, right, and is competing and giving themselves the best opportunities, I mean, they will get those opportunities when it comes game time. And I just think when you look at the running back room, you got a healthy jam. You got Daniel Hill, who they were really excited about in the offseason and in fall camp. He's now healthy. He was banged up, you know, for a while. Now he's a lot healthier. Kevin Riley kind of came out of the shadows when Jam went down, and he took advantage of the opportunity. So then now you got him in the picture where you probably didn't initially anticipate him being there, but he's gone out and proved that he can do it. He's proved that he can actually contribute on Saturdays. And there's only so many reps, you know, especially at running back. I mean, you know, you try to have a tandem, you might have a third down guy, but outside of that, man, if you're not in the top three on the depth chart at running back, I mean, you're probably only going to see the field for special teams. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, at some point they were playing musical chairs, he's running back.
Yeah.
But, you know, they get the job done, man. That's the main thing. I mean, however they do it, I don't care if it's 1 point, 2 points. They got to use 10 running backs. I don't care. As long as they keep winning, that's the whole thing for me. And, you know, to be honest, I tell you what, this season has been very exciting. I mean, I'm standing up for most of these plays here. You know, it's from the beginning to the end. So it's very exciting. And the best thing is that they end up winning the game. So that's all I care about.
Win is a win, man. That's what we like to say here. Don't matter how you get it, a win is a win. Anand, we appreciate you, man. Stay safe out there.
All right, man. Thank you very much for the taking my call.
Absolutely, man. Take care. Good deal. All right. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the game, 4 hours of Alabama football talk. do it. Right here, starting at 2 p.m., we got Rodney Orr, TigerInsider.com. We'll have a chance to talk to Bruce Marshall, Josh from College Football Nerds, Aaron Torres, right here, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Fred.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt and Taco Casa.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more in another language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky becoming partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 57. Clear and cold tonight, the low 39. Colder pockets might see some scattered light frost. And a beautiful day tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine. The afternoon high 63. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Expert. Final segment. Chase, where do we go from here, man? We only got a few minutes, man. What do we hit? I'm trying to see. Let me check our bookmarks real quick over on, what is it called? X now. I always want to say Twitter, but let's check our bookmarks on X. I know we played the clip during the break. Our radio listeners didn't hear it, but I think it's kind of pointless at this point. It was just Caleb Downs. He's got a podcast. He had Julian Sayan on there. And they were just talking about the whole situation when Coach Saban retired. You know, they came into that meeting. A lot of the guys that early enrolled, like, literally were still moving on to campus, like moving in. And he was saying, like, man, parents were still in town and Coach retired. Which, if you think about that, it is kind of nuts. Like, I'm thinking, like, if that happened to me, like, if I would, because I vividly remember moving into Bryant dorms, like my family there helping me move in and all that. That would be kind of nuts. Like a few days later, I show up to like our first team meeting after moving all my stuff into this dorm. Then coach said, "Hey, I'm calling it a career, man. I'm riding into the sunset and joining Pat McAfee on game day." Clearly, he didn't say all that. He didn't have all that set up. I don't think he did, at least. But anyways, they talked about that, but. I know you guys are just like, yeah, they're always talking about Bama. But, I mean, to be fair, I mean, they're all former Bama transfers. So, I mean, they have experiences here. I mean, Julian was only here a couple weeks. Caleb Downs, we know what he did his freshman year. Great player. But, yeah, so there was that. The other thing that I had bookmarked here, Chase, we had some updated Heisman odds. And I know there's a lot of different services and whatnot, but this is from BetGM. They've got Ty Simpson tied with Mendoza of Indiana for the Heisman frontrunners. And I saw somebody tweet this, and it's kind of what I was thinking. And it's no disrespect to any of these guys. But I'm not going to lie to you. If anybody wanted to win a Heisman, this low-key would be the year to do it. The Heisman race is low-key kind of weak, man. I'm being completely honest. Like, Ty's been playing some great ball. Like, it makes total sense he's up there. Mendoza's been impressive. I mean, and Julian Sand, I guess, is impressive too. But, like, outside of, I mean, like, Marcel Reed, I guess, impressive too. But, like, even when I say impressive, like, this just feels different. There's no, receiver up here that's just been lighting it up, that's been, I guess, worthy of really probably being on this list, hence why Jeremiah Smith is the only receiver on this list, and he's at like plus 3,000. They've been pretty underwhelming. I mean, hell, Ahmad Hardy, I mean, he's lighting it up on the ground, but it's just still not, I mean, it's not like the likes of Ashton Gentry. Like, we're just not really seeing anything that's just like mind blowing. Ricky says, you mean the quarterback award? I mean, hell yeah, at this point, it kind of is a quarterback award. But even if you just look at the quarterbacks, I mean, I feel like the quarterback play right now is not anything. I mean, Chase, do you agree? I mean, do you feel the same way? Like, this is low-key a weak year for the Heisman? And that's not disrespecting Ty or any of these guys. I mean, like, I'm just saying, compared to years prior where it's like, man, like, we got this guy, we got this guy. He's got an argument. Right now, it's just the Heisman race to me is very similar to, like, the playoff race, like the top teams right now. It's just kind of muddy, and there's nobody really just completely separating themselves. What do you think, Chase?
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Christian, and it kind of a bummer a little bit. Kind of how, like, last year was just Ashton Gentry going crazy and between Travis Hunter and so many others in previous years. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because of the parity of college football. I don't know if it's because there's so much turmoil that people – are kind of like, Ty is leading it right now, but, you know, Fernando's right beneath him. And then Julian, he's been killing it, but he's playing opponents that are cupcake. Marcel, you know, they're known for having these type of performances, but every year they let it down with a random game late in the season. And it's like, okay, well, that can't be it. Diego Pavia, yeah. We know how we feel about him. And it's just, it's not somebody that's like, oh, that person right there, I can watch him on any given Saturday in the morning, evening, after. It doesn't matter what time slot it is. He's going to be a playmaker. And I just don't see that right now. And it's not anything to discredit any of the Heisman players right now who could win it. Not at all. They're kicking butt. But it's just I think we've gotten so – we've been spoiled over the years of, like, that one guy that – we already know who's going to win it. He's been kicking butt, and that's it. So maybe it's just the new college football, and I guess, man, I have to get used to that, which is so weird to say.
Would it be a hot take, or would I be wrong if I said there just doesn't seem to be as good or as exciting of players this year compared to years past? Is that a hot take, Chase, or is that bad to say? I mean, like, is it just me? I mean,
it's not bad.
Kind of a reflection.
It's not bad at all, but it's a hot take because people are going to be like, well, you know, Ty's killing it. And I'm like, well.
Yeah, no, hear me out. What Ty is doing is definitely impressive. And, like, I definitely think, like, he's exciting. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying, like, just in general, like you mentioned, Travis Hunter, Ashton Gentry, like, just different, you know, different types of players and guys that are just really, like, you know, captivating attention. Like, maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. I just feel like it low key is just kind of like, I mean, it's some good, you know, stuff going on, but nothing that's really, like, blowing me away. I don't know. We got to get out of here. So maybe we'll dive back into that tomorrow. That might be something fun to talk about. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Tide 100.9. YouTube, live stream, Facebook, all that good stuff as well. Appreciate Chase behind the glass and all of our supporters and listeners. This wouldn't be possible without you guys. Look forward to doing it again right here tomorrow on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.